to do. I will cast all my cares upon you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bring peace, that you would bring joy, that you would bring encouragement to every person in this room. Lord, it seems like life can be so hard sometimes. But we know you are able. You are a great and wonderful God that we serve. Lord, I just pray for encouragement this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I texted Mitzi and asked her to sing that last song, Cast All My Cares on You. And y'all, what I wanted to talk about today, or what I thought about talking about, is my failures and shortcomings once again, as that seems to happen more often than I like. Jason Wednesday night had said something about patience, and it was really good what he'd said. He said that he heard a preacher talking about that if you lack patience and you're praying for patience, what you really lack is love, because love is patient, right? And you can just go down the list, you know. And so he says this Wednesday night, and I struggle with patience anyway. So Thursday, my work was terrible. My job's changed some, and I'm not really liking work very much right now, to the point that I'm praying if I need to switch jobs, because I am miserable. I've been miserable at work, and was having a bad day, and got off after work and went to Walmart, and I got to pick up a prescription, so the line's four or five cars deep. So I thought, well, I'll just run in. I need to get some orange juice anyway. Run in. There's one lady in line in front of me, so I'm like, okay. Stood there. Well, they'd put back this lady's prescription, I'm hearing, because she had waited too long to come get it. So they're like, if you'll give us 15, 30 minutes, we'll have it filled. The lady's like, okay. Well, can you tell me? And she just starts asking questions. I stood there for 10 minutes. And I'd already had a bad day. And I'm boiling on the inside. And I'm going, Walmart don't care if I get my prescription. This lady don't care if I get my prescription. If I leave here, it's not hurting them in any way. It's hurting me. I'm the one that's going to have to come back. I'm giving it two more minutes. I just had to walk out without my prescription, because I'm going, praying, talking to the Lord, going, I know this is wrong. I need patience. We just talked about it last night. But I just couldn't take another second of listening to that lady talk, and not even, she should have been gone in the store. And I'm just like, so y'all, I get in my car and I start driving home, and I get just right where the passing lane ends, coming where the Witcherville Strait stretching into Huntington, and I get behind a truck going 40, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I just started laughing, and I was like, I'm being tested. I'm failing miserably right now. And I got to follow that truck all the way to Mansfield. So that's what I was going to talk about today. But I thought, well, y'all don't need to hear my failures, do you? And what I was thinking about, and I was really hoping certain people would be here that's not here today, but the Lord knows who needs to be here. Because, y'all, it seems like, I wouldn't say daily, but weekly, I'm hearing about someone dying, someone in the hospital, someone hurting. We got people here at our church right now that are suffering greatly, and they're not sharing, they're not letting anyone else know necessarily, but they're suffering greatly with different issues in their life. And I thought, Lord, we need you, and this church needs you. And we need to learn to cast our cares upon the Lord. And Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And it seems like with the bad news and the things and the sadness and everything going on in the world, and I was thinking about this verse this week, and I was thinking about there's a business that I deliver to, and they have a black bow that they put on their door when someone has died. And you used to just see it here and there. It's almost every other week that bow's back on the door. And I went in this Friday, and I'm like, the bow's back up. What happened? The head of their maintenance, 44 years old, died of COVID. And then a lady in the office died of COVID this week. It's almost every week, y'all. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how worried and how burdened and how many of us are just feeling the weight of the world right now. And I was thinking about casting your cares on the Lord. And I was really like even thinking of like, when I think of casting, what do y'all think of? I think of like a fishing pole, right? And I think about throwing my bait out into the pond. I think about casting it out. And I was thinking about what if we physically said, Lord, here's this care. God, I'm laying it at your feet. God, I'm casting this care upon you because I can't handle it anymore. I'm failing in my patience. I'm failing at work. I'm failing in this area of my life. And God, I just want to give it to you. And if we literally just grabbed it from whether it's in our thoughts or in our heart and just grabbed it and cast it and said, God, here it is. And we named it and we cast it to Him and we name it and we cast it to Him and we name it and we cast it to Him. Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And go to Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Y'all, I read these verses, but I know people going through it right now, and they're really not experiencing rest. I know people living in it right now and they're not really feeling the rest and the joy and the peace that they're so full of anxiety, they're so full of fear, they're so full of that burden. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But have any of y'all ever been there and you think, I don't feel that rest? I have. I can't help it, y'all, and I want to experience that rest, and I want to say, God, I know You're in control. I know You got this, and some of you are facing life-changing decisions. And you're going, God, I'm at a loss. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes, though, that yoke's awful heavy. Sometimes it's life is tough. Sometimes it just seems like, why is all this happening? 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. There it is again. Cast, cast, cast. And I think about His yoke being easy, and I think about casting, and I think about all these burdens of this life that many of us are carrying around right now in this world that we live in this time that we live in. And some of you at home, you're experiencing different things and terrible things. And it's like, I want to give it to the Lord. I don't want to be weary and carrying this burden anymore. But sometimes it's just so hard. Sometimes I just don't know how. And Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I get in trouble for telling stories on my family. But I'm going to tell one and just get in trouble. We we've gotten where we've been building campfires almost every night, and one of our favorite things to do is just sit outside and look at the stars and then roast marshmallows. But the other night I built the fire and I moved our little fire pit out closer to the woods, and we've got a bear hanging out by our house. You have to actually see the pictures of the one that was killed last night. It wasn't by our house. It was by my brother's house. It was huge, huge bear. But I've got pictures of, there's two bears that's been hanging out behind our house and everything. And so anyway, the other night, I'm tired and I built the fire and roasted my marshmallows, and I'm like, I'm going to go in and get my shower. And I left Crystal out there by herself. And it wasn't 30 seconds that she was behind me. She was hearing noises in the woods, you know. She went back out for a few more minutes, but it wasn't too long. She didn't stay out there very long. And, y'all, there's just something when someone's with you, isn't there? You know, I'm not going to lie. There's been times that I've been out in the woods in the dark and I'm hearing noises and I'm getting a little spooked myself. Like, what is that? You know, but when you got someone with you, it makes it a whole lot easier. There's like, almost like, there's confidence. And here God's saying, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. But we forget that, don't we? We forget that when we're in a storm. We forget that when we're in trouble, that God's saying, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm right here with you. But God's promised not to leave us. But that doesn't mean that we won't face hard times, y'all. God says, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you. But that doesn't mean that we're still not going to face storms in this life. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. That's what Jesus is saying. The world hated me first, so the world's going to hate you. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friend, do not be surprised at the painful trials you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. You know what that tells me? That we're going to face some painful trials sometimes. We're going to face tough times. Don't be surprised if something strange were happening to you. 1 Peter 1:6-9. Oh, I went to James. Not in James yet. 1 Peter 1:6-9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer griefs and all kinds of trials. You hear that? Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. So don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised when painful trials come, when you suffer. And He says, don't be surprised in the griefs and the trials that you're facing, because it's refining you. See, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Cast your cares upon Him. But sometimes we're facing trials in our lives. Sometimes we're facing things that can't be explained. Sometimes it's the proving of our faith. Are we genuine? Do we believe in God? I want to go all the way back to Daniel chapter 3. If you guys want to flip back there, I'll give you just a second, because I'm going to be reading quite a bit here. And this is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Many of you know the story, but King Nebuchadnezzar has built this big gold image, this big statue, and is commanding everybody when they hear the music that they're supposed to bow down to this statue. And then we'll start at verse 13. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't bowing. And furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zurth, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? You know, there's Christians around the world right now that's really facing situations like this. In the Muslim nations and stuff, if you don't renounce your faith to Jesus Christ, we're going to behead you. We're going to kill you. You know, I'm not trying to take away from what we're facing here in America, but it's really mild compared to what other countries are facing. But y'all, and I'm not taking away, because there are people right now in our church that are facing very, very hard decisions and very, very real problems and very, very real sicknesses and disease. Who are we going to rely on? Who are we going to trust in when it's like choice? It's time. Who are you choosing? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I want y'all to think about what they just said. We're not going to compromise. We're not giving in. Because God is able to save us. All I've read to you guys so far is, cast your cares upon Him, that never will He leave you, never will He forsake you. Don't be surprised if bad things are happening. That's life. That's what happens in life. And so here they're saying, our confidence is in God. But even if He doesn't deliver us, we're not gonna bow down. We're not, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, even if He doesn't deliver them in the fiery furnace, they're delivered for eternity in heaven with Him. And see, that's how people that we see right now that are facing this persecution, that are even facing death, and they might be praying, God deliver me, God deliver me. But even when they're not delivered, they are delivered, right? For eternity. They're in Jesus' hands now. They're up in heaven because they stood. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. They were right in the middle of that fire. Some of you in your lives right now, you might be right in the middle of that fire. I don't know. You might be right in the middle of misery and pain and hurt. You might be right in the middle of making the decision. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves about having a fire is because I smell like smoke. And, you know, even though I love a campfire and being out there and roasting marshmallows and stuff, it's like when I get home from work, I'm usually nasty and dirty and sweaty, and the first thing I want to do is take a shower. But then if I go out by a campfire and I smell like smoke, then I got to take another shower, right? Because I'm not even in the fire, but that smoke, I smell like it. They're in the middle of the fire and it says they don't even smell like smoke. How awesome is our God? How wonderful is our God that they can be thrown in? The guys who even tossed them in died. And they're walking around in there, not even singed, not even smelling like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angels and rescued His servant. They trusted in Him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." No other God can save in this way. But we doubt and we worry and we fret and we wonder, God, are you able in our trials and our struggles? God, are you able? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and this is Paul, "To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about My weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I want y'all to think about that. Do we delight in our hardships, in our persecutions, in that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan in our life? Do we delight in that and say, "Look what God can do? Watch and see how God can deliver me. Watch and see how God can take care of this situation"? No, most of the time, what do? "Help me. I don't like going through this." And we're whining and we're crying. God's saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness." In church, sometimes I think we're not casting our care upon the Lord and we're trying to carry the load ourselves and trying to figure out and trying to make a way and trying to manipulate or do whatever it is instead of just saying, "God, I'm weak and I can't handle it. There's things in my life that I can't handle. And God, I need You. And I want to cast this care upon You." And what do? We'll cast the care upon Him and then we'll grab it back. We'll cast the care upon Him and then we'll pull it back. And we'll say, "Well, I'll work it out. Well, I'll figure it out. Well, I'll make a way." You know my Walmart story I was telling y'all about a minute ago, that I was so impatient. You know, funny thing happened between Huntington and Fort Smith, as there was like a 4-car accident. I didn't see anybody hurt, but it was a pretty bad accident. The cars were smashed pretty bad. And when I first seen that, I said, "Lord, was You protecting me?" I don't know when the accident happened. I don't know. But I just thought, "Lord, was You protecting me?" Well, I'm sitting there impatiently boiling on the inside because I'm ready to go. But I might right have been in the middle of that accident. And then I hit that slow truck, and like I said, I just smiled and laughed. "God, I got a long ways to go. I need to learn. I need to learn love. I need to learn patience. I need to learn, God, that in my weakness, You are made strong." Me being up here preaching to y'all, I got to tell you, it's in weakness. It's only by the grace of God that I'm standing up here talking and reading. It's through His grace. It is Him being sufficient. It's not me. It's Him being sufficient. And that's why I pray so hard and I ask God, God, may Your message be spoke through me. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about what you guys need. I want it to be about what God can do through me to reach this church, to reach this area, to reach this community, and for us to understand that when life is tough, that God can make a way. I don't know. Do you guys know who Lou Ferrigno is? Anybody? The old Incredible Hulk, right? He was the Incredible Hulk, and I think the show was in the late 70s or early 80s. Lou Ferrigno, if you've ever heard him talk, he talks really almost like he's got a speech impediment. But what it is when he was a baby, he had a severe fever and a severe infection, and it cost him most of his hearing. So he can't hear very well. And when he was a little boy growing up, said that he was made fun of mercilessly. He was made fun of at school because of the way he talked and because he couldn't hear. But you know what that did inside of him? It made him start wanting to get stronger. And he started lifting weights. And I think he won like Mr. Universe or all these. He was worldly recognized and became the Incredible Hulk, this big old muscled up guy. And he's in his 60s now, and he still does training for people. And I was reading about his life, and he said, as hard a time as that was, he says, I would not be the man I am today without it. Without being made fun of, without being messed with, he would not be the man today without that hard time. And y'all, should anybody make fun of someone? No. Is that some wonderful thing that someone's mocked and laughed at? No. But that trial made him who he became. And sometimes, y'all, the trials that we're going for or that we're going through is the very thing that God is using to make us the men and women that He desires for us to be. We started studying in the men's group on Wednesday night in James, and James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I want you to think about that. That says, consider it pure joy when you face trials, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Maybe the storm that you're going through right now is God growing you up. Maybe the storm that you're going through right now is a way for you to become mature and not lacking anything. I'm not mature yet. I still got a ways to go in my patience area. And apparently we might talk about that in the coming weeks, but in even love and loving others the way that I should. But church, I need to understand that when I'm facing those trials, to stop and say, God, I give it to You. I cast my cares upon You. I give it to You because I can't handle it myself. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. You know what that's saying? Is that the hard times that you're going through now, it's not even going to compare to when we get to heaven. It's not even going to compare to what our lives are going to be, to what we're going to become. And I want to end with one more familiar text in Matthew 14. And I was thinking about Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. Just a side note, some of us need to go up on a mountainside and pray. Some of us need to get alone and pray. Some of us need to pray and cast those cares upon the Lord. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But this is the part. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Some of us have been looking at storms of life and taking our eyes off Jesus, and we're beginning to sink. Some of us have been looking at the trials and the struggles of this life so much that we've already sunk. And we've lost our confidence in the Lord, and we've lost our trust in the Lord, we've lost our faith in the Lord, and we say, "God, how can this be happening if you're with me?" Peter was sinking because he was looking at the storm. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You guys see, when Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," it didn't say Jesus let him take on a little bit of water, did he? He didn't start lecturing him and say, "Well, Peter, what's wrong with you? You were already walking." No, it says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took him. Are you crying out to Jesus today? Are you carrying the load yourself? Are you crying out to Jesus today? Are you literally casting your cares upon him physically? Or are you taking on water? Are you looking at the storms? As we end, I would ask that in a few moments when we stand and we pray, that if there's anything in your life that just feels like it's been too big, too hard, you give it to Jesus today. You might have to go into the fire. You might be in the storm of your life. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know that you'll not face difficulties. We are going to face difficulties. Jesus said, "The world hated me, it's going to hate you." Don't be surprised, as if something strange were happening to you for the suffering that you're going through. We're going to suffer. This is a world that we live in. It's a fallen world. And there's so much more scripture, but I didn't want to keep y'all till 3 o'clock this afternoon. There's so much more scripture to back it up that you will face trials, that you will face struggles, but Jesus says, "Cry out to me and immediately I'll grab you. Cast your cares upon me and I will sustain you." And so if y'all would stand. As your brother in Christ, I will pray for you this morning. But y'all, sometimes it needs to just be a personal thing. And you crying out and naming it, "God, I can't handle this. I give it to you. God, I cast this care upon you. God, life, it's just rough right now, and I need you." And I pray right now that you guys would cast your cares upon the Lord. And like I said, I'll pray with you as your brother in Christ. If you need some time alone at these altars or right where you're standing, but I encourage you, whatever's been burdening you, whatever's been weighing you down, whatever your focus has been on, Peter, his focus went to the storms. But let's be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, even if God doesn't deliver us out of this situation, we're going to stay focused on Him and we're not going to compromise. However the Lord leads.
In the presence
Hope you guys have found encouragement today and that you'll truly cast your cares upon the Lord. Prayer and fasting and crying out, get alone. And sometimes we just got to persevere. Sometimes you just got to keep going. And put one foot in front of the other and say, God, I'm yours. And I don't understand. I don't understand, but I'm going to keep seeking you. I'm going to just keep seeking you no matter what. I ask that you guys pray for the people around you this week. And I ask if you're in a good time in your life and everything's perfect, it's a good time to lift those around you up. Jama, Bradley, there's many others that need prayer. Keep lifting them up. Y'all have a blessed day. I don't want to forget, we got Kimberly's and Brandon's wedding shower coming up on the 9th at 3 o'clock here at the church. Anybody that they're registered at Target and Bed Bath and Beyond. And then everyone is also invited to their wedding, which is November the 6th. It's a Saturday at 2. And so I'm pretty good at reading lips, Bridges. but they would like to know if you are going to come. The whole church is invited, but just so they have enough seating and everything, it's going to be down at the lake. Past their house. I've not been there, but Bridget can give us directions. But the whole church is invited. Like I said, they just need to know the number of people coming so they can have it set up. And so y'all have a blessed day.